Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into a special, possibly emergency edition of the BBP2, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. You know, we originally were going to try to take this Thursday off. That was the plan. Yeah. We were going to, but the Bengals and the NFL do not sleep. You will not take time off. You will not miss BBPs because news will happen as it did. So we're here for you, the Bengals listener, reader, watcher, all things Inquirer Bengals coverage.
Yeah.
People. We're here for you. So, Jim, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's, you know, you're right. It never stops. I guess I'm not surprised that we have to do this with the news that Tyler Eifert decided to end his season with a second back surgery in, 9 months?
In 9 months, yeah.
Something like that. So, hey, you know, it's the bye week. Everyone was wondering what was happening and all this stuff, which we addressed this time a week ago. So, on one hand, I'm not surprised, but, you know, could have happened Monday. That would have been okay, too.
I've been all right with it happening on Monday. So, basically, to kind of run down what the news is, Tyler Eifert ends up going out to a specialist in L.A. to discuss his options regarding surgery. He had surgery in January on his back, and after some consultation, decided he is going to have another surgery on a different. This is a different disc issue, and. Now, not just this, he had a back surgery when he was in college in Notre Dame. So this is the third one that he will have had. Of course, he was in the final year of his contract, his five-year rookie deal, currently making $4.8 million on the fifth-year option there. So the question that I'll sort of start with is with this, it's fair to wonder if we have seen the last Bengals snap of Tyler Eifert. What's your take on that?
I think it's a fair thought, Paul, and not from a Bengals perspective. I think they would be more than willing to entertain bringing him back on a one-year deal, prove-it deal, that type of situation. Just look at the Vontaze Burfict contract where the majority of the money is tied into his availability on Sundays with the 46-man roster bonuses. I think what will send Tyler Eifert somewhere else in the NFL in 2018 is frankly, who represents him. It's the agency CAA for Bengals fans. We don't really get into this kind of talk too often, but I think it's important to bring up here because they represented Kevin Zeitler. And CAA tends to to they have the biggest name clients in football for the most part, and they tend to go for the big dollars that you see reported, even if they're not real dollars. And what I mean by that is, let's say Tyler Eifert signs a 3-year deal for $36 million in the offseason. People are like, oh my God, that's crazy. Well, then later you find out really it's a 1-year deal for like $4 million, but it's all these escalators and bonuses and things. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where I just think they're going to go out, and that's probably one of the reasons he's having the surgery, Paul, is to get healthy, of course, but to clear all the medical checks, to be able to do anything and everything on a free agent tour he would be asked to do. And if he's healthy and looks good, I mean, someone's going to sign him. Now, whether it's the Bengals or not, I'll allow that possibility because I know the Bengals, and you know this too, they like him. They were ready to give him a lot of money a year ago if he had stayed healthy, without the Pro Bowl injury and then the back. So I think the Bengals, though, will be more than willing to wait it out and see. And CAA isn't really an organization that likes their guys to wait it out.
Yeah, I just wonder, no matter what CAA or Eifert and his camp are seeking, I mean, there's going to be a reluctance from anybody to actually pay it and give anything resembling a long-term deal. I can't imagine a scenario where anybody is guaranteeing anything beyond one season, and even that being something that, like you said, is connected to incentives, whether those are snap-based, whether those are production-based, whether those are active roster-based. I don't know. And honestly, if I'm Eifert, I mean, I'm saying I want to just go play one more year here, show one healthy season or another productive season, and try to cash in. Unless he's on – of course, it's fair to wonder if he thinks he'll ever be able to string a bunch of seasons together, so it's one shot to see whatever he can get. But his leverage will never be lower than coming off 2 back surgeries in 9 months. He, at some point, is going to have to go prove that he can play a season if he wants to make the money. And if he can do that, he will get paid. But that's why I think it would be silly for him to go out and try to do anything long-term after this year. Go out there, and if you really think this is going to get you right and get you healthy, go out there and have a year next year and then collect.
Right. Yeah, what's interesting there, Paul, though, is considering all that's happened to the guy, while that on the surface sounds good, the idea of – I think the base money is going to be the same for a guy like this. The difference here is the Bengals really don't do crazy bonuses, and they don't – I mean, they hardly do performance bonuses. You'll get your occasional Pro Bowl bonus, but they're only like $250,000. I mean, they don't do the Gronkowski-ish deal that was just reworked where it's millions of dollars for all pro or whatever. However, other teams do that. So I could see Tyler Eifert saying, well, if I've only got one good year left in this body – and the base money's the same everywhere, and team B is willing to give me an extra X million if I'm a Pro Bowler, if I go to an All-Pro, make an All-Pro, if I catch 12 touchdowns, I could see him finding that more attractive. So I totally agree with you, and I think every team will say you have to prove it, but, there's always a team, it seems like, right, that's like, well, we'll give you 2 years on paper, again, 2 years for 20, but really it's a 1 for 4, but everything else is, hinges on other things. So that's why I think this was his last go-around in Cincinnati.
Yeah. And the other side of this, really, though, is do the Bengals want to deal with this anymore? And I think that there's obviously some frustration although that's a word that no one gets frustrated there. I forgot Mark knows how to use that.
Right.
But there's obviously some frustration with you count on a guy, you've based part of your attack on a guy, and he's not there. And even if you get it at some really nice deal or whatever, if you re-sign Tyler Eifert, you're kind of plotting your offense around the idea that he's there. He's that type of a player. So you would have to then start doing it where you're basically plotting it under the idea that he may or may not be. You can't really start basing stuff around him anymore, I don't think. You've been burnt by it too often, and you can argue, they went a little too far getting burnt by it this year. Not quite having a backup plan, although Tyler Kroft is playing well and been serviceable. He's a right. very nice number two tight end. If you want a dynamic tight end in this league, and we know the Bengals do, they've drafted as such more so than almost any other team in recent years. You can't just sign a guy like Eifert and plot on him being there anymore. That can't be a part of what you do. And I think that's where the Bengals would just be willing to cut bait and say, look, if you're here, we're going to want to base things around you, and we're going to want to hold a spot for you. We just can't count on that. And I think you start to make other plans. So I think that's the other side of it is not only can you find the right deal, are you willing to continue to go through this and ride this roller coaster with him, no matter how much you like him?
No, you're right, Paul. And honestly, I think a big factor in that could be Tyler Kroft. 'Cause guess what 2018 is for Mr. Kroft?
Right.
It is the fourth year of his rookie deal, and that is when this team makes decisions on extensions. And now, obviously, that doesn't preclude them drafting a tight end. But look, Tyler Kroft was drafted in the third round in 15. We all know this. Guess what he's on pace for? He's on pace for about 40 catches, 400 yards, about 6 touchdowns. And now, while you say, wow, that's not at an all-pro level, well, really, those numbers would be better than anything Tyler Eifert ever put up aside from his 13-game season in 15. Obviously, we know the injury issues there. But I that's the thing. I mean, you know, there's an opportunity now, as Marvin likes to say, opportunity for an opportunity. Tyler Kroft, you know, is clearly getting some trust from Andy Dalton. It's clearly getting open in this Bill Lazor offense. So, let's not totally, I guess, put that on the shelf is like, well, here's a guy that maybe can keep that position viable. Clearly not the athlete, clearly not the double team guy, but if you get 40, 406 out of what would be your second or third option, I don't think it's terrible. So, and look, they haven't really played with Tyler Eifert for the better part of his career. So, I mean, that's nothing new either, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you're right. But I think they would like to be playing with somebody like a Tyler Eifert, and that's the thing.
Right.
It's not a matter of what they have or haven't done. It's a matter of how they would like for this offense to look. And I think they would like for it to look like there's a dynamic tight end. And I think Tyler Kroft is a nice number two possession tight end, and maybe he continues to ascend and to get better. If you're looking for a dynamic playmaker, they probably will have to look elsewhere. And I don't know what that is, if that's in the draft or whatever, or if it's giving Tyler Eifert a chance. I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. But I would say, I think you're right. If we're making the gut call right now, I would probably lean towards saying that Tyler Eifert won't be back with the Bengals next year, right? Would you agree?
Right. I think if I had to put a chip down in October, that's the chip I would put down.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's unfortunate.
There's too much happening. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because what he was a game changer, an absolute game changer for this offense, for this team, and. But at a certain point, that doesn't really matter if you're never out there. I you can't help but feel for a guy. There's just no more helpless feeling in sports than when you are just hurt, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, he's out there putting it on the line, doing whatever he can, and, you know, he just continually has been getting hurt, and that's just the bad luck of it. Let's, before we kind of get to Optimistic Bobby and the hot seat from Tuesday, let's run down. You had some of these in the walkthrough, and we want to update on some of the injuries and where they're at, but just so we know, people know going into the bye week. I mean, Ryan Hewitt, it looks like we're sort of we're targeting late this month, early next month, somewhere in there, that he'll be back with that knee injury.
Yeah, I think they felt pretty good at diagnosing a sprain. I don't know what ligament, but I think the thought was a 3 to 4 week, you know, recovery time. So, you know, yeah, end of this month, early November, obviously that always depends on when you can actually get on the rehab field and start cutting and doing things like that. So he's sort of on track for at least that window.
Yeah, and I would think, you know, Tyler Boyd, it's not a season-ending thing, but they're going to continue to be without him for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think you could toss Tyler Boyd in a way into the John Ross bucket,
mm-hmm.
where they're, at least as of now, I mean, maybe Ross, they know exactly what's wrong. They just, you know, the powers that be in his camp and with the team just don't want it out. But I think Boyd is still, they're still trying to figure out the severity of all that and Marvin Lewis didn't want to confirm it was an MCL sprain, but he also didn't deny it. So let's just assume that's what it is. And if, you know, that stuff's usually not wrong. And if the Bengals fans remember, took Michael Johnson, he missed most of camp, right? Or all of camp in 2015
mm-hmm.
with an MCL sprain. So I think it really depends on the grade of that. And then here, you know, we're talking about a position where he's got to cut hard and fast and be able to change directions and not think about it. So, I mean, you know, it could be a while before we see Tyler Boyd, depending on, you know, how severe that is, which they still maybe won't find out maybe until this week when they get back.
Yep. And, you know, we're still on the John Ross thing. It hasn't really changed much. You know, Marvin Lewis on Monday sort of said, look, you've got to get back on the practice field. And once he does that, then he's got to actually practice with this team. And so that was sort of, I think, a shot at, just because this guy gets back healthy doesn't mean that I'm going to be interested in clearing him immediately, because he doesn't know what the heck's going on. He's hardly practiced since he's been with this team. And when you consider he missed basically all, he did miss all the offseason. He missed the vast majority of camp. He's played in a tiny portion of a couple of preseason games and 5 snaps and nothing else. And, you know, even when he gets out onto that practice field, he's got a lot to learn to think he's going to go in there and make any kind of impact. And the time's just running out this year. The time is running out on his ability to get in there, practice, and then make an actual immediate impact. I mean, if you could see him getting back into practice the next couple of weeks and earning some trust, maybe by December he's, you know, a real impact player beyond just running a small packages, things like that. But for now, he's got to get back on the practice field and start learning this offense.
Right. Yeah, you're 100% right there, Paul. And that just adds to the, well, can't use the word frustration. I forgot. No one's ever frustrated.
No one is frustrated. They just move on.
They just move on. Move on to wherever. I don't know, but you're right. I think I don't know what that meant in a way where they just, where maybe Marvin, you know, you look back at that Houston game, right? And we were all sort of surprised that he was active and ready to go. We thought maybe mm-hmm. the knee would have kept him out anyway. So it makes you kind of think like Marvin wasn't really sure he should have been playing anyway at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he needs a practice, because it's not like the days of practice he's had are all the same, but what, 2 since then? Because it was the next week against Green Bay, right? The Monday, Wednesday. So.
Yep.
It's just interesting to me that's what Marvin had to say about it, because you know that he would obviously want Bill Lazor and Andy Dalton to have their first round draft pick, but you know, I also don't blame him. I mean, the kid's got to practice and learn. You got a new coordinator; they're running new stuff in a way. You know, it sounds different, it looks different. So, I mean, he hasn't practiced with Bill Lazor yet, calling those plays, and and the tempo of things. So it's you said December there, Paul, and I guarantee you people were like, oh, you're like, oh, Tyler Eifert, we just, oh, we're getting over it, we're processing. John Ross in December. I mean, but that's like it could be a real thing, you know.
Not that he wouldn't be back before then, but that if you take into account of getting some experience and playing and like gaining the trust and being able to expand what he does know about the playbook and playing, like that's what we're talking about. I mean, that might be enough if this team could find a way to get into the playoffs, win the division or whatever. But you know, I just think that's when you start missing this much time as a rookie, it's not like he has a camp full of knowledge to fall back on. He just doesn't. So, just wonder how fast he could even start making an impact, even when healthy. All right, let's bring in Optimistic Bobby. He was very excited. So 50 West owner Bobby Slattery, here's a conversation with him. All right, it is that time yet again. It is time for Optimistic Bobby. His question and optimistic takes, 50 West owner Bobby Slattery. Bobby, what's going on?
I'm back.
I just kept thinking, like, man, this is gonna be special because as the momentum builds, it's like all the negativity was out there. You officially gathered the people to sap it out, and now everyone is flying over to your side.
3 weeks ago, I was sitting at my house with my wife, and I was talking to her about the realistic possibility that I was going to be on a billboard a la Wild Man Walker at some point this season. And I kept the faith, you know, Paul, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And I kept believing, and now everything that I believe in is coming true. And I'm so happy that the people of Cincinnati are now behind me, and we're getting to enjoy this together.
I had the vision of one of those motivational posters that say you believe it, you can achieve it, with the picture of you and your buddy holding the laser cast at the concourse from Sunday, because I think it would be fitting.
I'm actually sad that we released that photo. I think the better photo of us happened about 20 minutes after that, when it was two grown men standing in the rain holding stuffed cats, wearing headsets and a hard hat. It may be one of the most fun games I've ever attended. It was good. The laser cast, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get picked up on national news or any sort of sports media, but I will be we'll be dressing up again in the rest of the season, and hopefully our time will come. We just keep believing in what we're doing, and people will take note.
Did you have a headset, or did you have to borrow that from somebody?
Oh, that's great. That's a great question. So my wife actually went back to work today. She's been off because of our baby, and she was looking for her work headset, and I had to explain to her that I cut the cord off to use it as a prop for the laser cast on Sunday. So anyways, yes, we did have a headset. No, she does not have one today at work, but I will be going to Staples shortly after when I get off work today to buy her a new one.
This is what you do for the team. You know, you make sacrifices.
This is it.
You make tough
decisions. Hey. You know what? If you want to make the playoffs after starting 0-3, you got to be unconventional in the things you do. And anyways, I couldn't be more excited about it. I apologize. First off, I want to thank all my Twitter fans out there. We hit 500 followers going into the game. I knew that was a good sign right when it happened. But I couldn't tweet much because of the rain. It was hard. There was a lot of a lot of water on the phone, and actually a couple tweets that I thought went out that didn't actually go out. One of them was prefacing that there wasn't going to be a lot of tweeting today because of the rain. It was great. It was exciting. So, but let's get to my points from the game. I got a few things I want to touch on, and I got to get you my question.
Okay, let's go.
I'm ready.
I'm always ready. I'm just taking the show.
Tyler Croft, Tomb Raider, about the Green Bay game. My buddy went up in Green Bay, and he was laughing, saying that he met Tyler Croft's mom up there. And she was bragging about how he's actually better than Eifert. This is, of course, at this point, he's completely unproven. So the joke, moving forward, has always been about Tyler's mom. And anyways, I felt like this was the day for redemption in the jungle on Sunday. I mean, big day for Tyler Croft's mom. So obviously he's a proven asset. Very excited about that. Andy, I mean, if there was ever any doubt in Andy, I think he shut up all the critics. I'm hoping that's the last time anyone will ever say anything bad about him again. And overall, just a great game. I'm just excited to be alive here in Cincinnati and rooting for a team that's about to go into Pittsburgh and show them what they're made out of.
Yeah, the big day for Tyler Kroft's mom. For all the Kroft, really.
The whole family.
His time is coming now. It's all here. He's going to get a chance to prove it this year. This is it.
I was just envisioning her standing out there in the rain with the rest of the Kroft, just saying "I told you" over and over again. So very, very excited for their family.
All right, I like it. What's the question? We're ready for your question.
Question. You ready? Okay, so my question this week is it's in regards to our old offensive coordinator, Ken Zampezi. I want to know, with everything that's happened, is he down in a bar in Florida right now drinking his sorrows away? Does he see some goodness and feel like maybe he could take credit for some of this? He just wasn't around long enough to be able to bear all the fruits.
I like that. That's a good question. That's a great question. What's going on at 50 West right now? I know we were talking earlier, the Bruin Q is coming up on the November 4th. What else you got going on?
I have three giant fermenting tanks and one giant bright tank that are about to arrive on Tuesday, and I'm super excited about them. So we're going to be making more. That probably means nothing to anybody out there. What that means is we can make a whole lot more beer. So anyways, they're getting delivered here on Tuesday, and our brewers are pumped, and our whole team's pumped, and you're going to see more 50 West beer out there in the market all leading up to February when we'll be hitting the shelves inside of grocery stores with cans. So
wow.
We're excited about that. We got the brewing queue in November, and life is good. Oh, we just won an award. What am I thinking? I'm forgetting.
You did? What'd you win? What did you win?
We took home a gold medal at Great American Beer Festival.
Which beer was it for?
Tennessee Barley Wine. So this is our second time we've won a QABF. Us and Fatheads are the only two in Ohio that can claim that in the last year. So, anyways, it's a huge deal. That's the biggest beer festival in the world, and our team was really excited about it. So, we'll have it. They're brewing it up right now because we don't have it in the tap room, but it'll be available in our tap room here shortly. We're excited. So that's now two awards at QABF, the biggest biggest festival in the United States, and then we won. At the World Beer Cup last year.
That's awesome. Man, what a great event. The World Beer Cup, I just want to be a judge. I just want to know how I get to be a judge for that. It's got to be, you talk about the pinnacle. That's the pinnacle right there. I want to be a judge.
It's great. I mean, one of my favorite memories is, just imagine, sexy Brazilians winning and, just very emphatic about it. I think that the international stage just adds a whole other element. In the Great American Beer Festival, you're dealing with mostly people from America, and they're just different, right? Just different people. So,
that is awesome.
I'm going to stop talking now.
Oh, it's all good. We always love chatting with you, Bobby. We'll be catching up with you next week for Steelers Week, which I know you're excited. Congrats on the costume, and get to Staples now.
I'm on it. All right. Good day, Paul.
All right, so there is optimistic Bobby. He would like to know our feelings on what Ken Zampezi is thinking, watching this offense do what it has done the last 3 weeks. What would you be thinking?
I would be thinking we were just about to do this. I think any offensive coordinator removed or otherwise is thinking, well, if I could have played that dime package in Green Bay and it's the Browns. You know what I mean? I think for sure, if you've got any sort of sense of self and confidence and ego, which all of these people do, no doubt Ken Zampezi is watching saying, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked. Look, he was here for forever. I don't doubt that he's wishing the Bengals win the Super Bowl, to be honest. Him and Marvin are friends, and Andy, I think he's sitting there thinking, yeah, maybe we should throw the deep ball a little more. But other than that, I think this is the thing that we would be doing.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any animosity or anything. I mean, I think there was an understanding when he left between him and the staff and with Marvin that this was just what needed from shaking it up for personality's sake, for players believing's sake, for being able to hit the reset button on something that just wasn't going right and not bang your head up against a wall. You know, even if it's just a fresh voice doing a lot of similar things, and I don't know, not necessarily that's what it is, but even if that was the only thing that could be done, it probably needed to be, and I think he understood that. So I definitely don't think there's any animosity.
Yeah.
I don't think anything like that. But yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of shaking your head saying, yeah, we could have totally done this if I were stayed, but you know, who knows? Who knows? I don't know that we'll know. I don't know that Ken will ever talk about that. We'll see.
Right.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up here for our emergency BBP. I want to make sure we got all this to you guys. Thanks for hanging with us through technical difficulties throughout this one. I know we kind of sound different through different parts of it, but we're just trying to do whatever we've got to do. We're scraping and clawing. You know what I mean? It's like
yes.
When you have some adversity, when you have a dumb penalty, you got to come back and get the sack. We're just trying to scrape and claw and find some way to get a win for you. So appreciate you hanging with us. We do, of course, have Kevin Huber on the hot seat, where Doc reads out all the details about Kevin Huber's wedding to Kevin Huber from this past Tuesday. Next Tuesday, Carlos Dunlap will be our guest, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks. Come on down, meet Carlos, say hello. Should be a good old time. So hopefully we'll talk to you then. We, of course, will have the BBP early next week as well as we start prepping for Pittsburgh week. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
And welcome back to Beyond the Stripes. I'm Paul Dougherty, and the marketers call this segment the hot seat.
All
most
right.
Guys don't think it's real hot. You've done this many, many times. You're a veteran. You know I ask silly questions, and you give me great answers, which
that's
is
right.
Really a good thing for you to do. It's very difficult. You, by the way, are kind of the Aroldis Chapman of this show.
Okay.
A savior. I wanted to thank you for that before I ask you stupid questions.
Hey, glad I could
all
help.
Right? So thank you. Have you ever considered writing the book, The Secret Life of Punters?
No, I don't.
How about
I'm not a big reader.
How about a sexy tell-all TV show, Real Punters of Cincinnati?
I could do that.
You could do that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to help you. How about a romantic comedy, Punters, a love story about shoes?
I could definitely do that.
Yeah? See, I'm getting you started. All these things that you can do maybe after you're done with your punting.
I've got
career.
A shoe problem. Myself, so I can do that.
You have a shoe problem?
Yeah.
Like way too many?
Yeah.
Like Drake Kirkpatrick?
He's got more than I do, but I mean...
He has a shoe sickness.
Yes.
Yeah, you just have a problem.
I just have a problem. I'm not to the sickness yet.
How many shoes? Pairs of shoes?
I don't know. I've probably about 30 pair in the basement in boxes, and then...
That's nothing.
Whatever I use upstairs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite pair of shoes to punt with? Are you shoe-perstitious? How about that?
No, I've got, you know, because... Nike changes their shoes so often.
Yeah.
There was a pair I liked probably about 5 years ago that
right.
I just ordered a bunch of them. So I have probably about 4 or 5 pair of those left.
Yeah.
The Nike Tiempo.
What happens when they run out?
Then I got to figure something out.
A little panic maybe?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit.
But you got the shoes that you like. Do you pamper your left leg? Do you get like pedicures?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you pamper a leg? What do you do?
Massages and pedicures, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about the right leg? Does it feel...
Oh, it's the same. I treat them the same.
Okay, so that's good. So the right leg doesn't feel left out.
Yeah, I don't discriminate.
Okay. You're a golfer. We were talking about this.
Yep.
But I know this because your wife tweeted this once, that as you held her hand while you were driving in the car, a very romantic moment, she asked you what you were thinking about at that moment, and you said...
Golf.
Golf. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tips on how to woo your wife.
Got to be honest.
Can you spin a ball? Can you spin a wedge into a green? Back up a ball?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You act like that's an easy thing to do. I can't do that.
I bet you can.
All right. Now, no, I really can't. No, you haven't seen me play. Can you do anything similar with a football? You want to keep a ball inside the 20-yard line. Can you get it to bounce backwards?
Yeah. It's the end-over-end punt where I kind of dip the nose down.
Okay.
It's the same concept of as a wedge.
So there's a trick to it. Yeah. That you, okay, it's not just, I mean, weird-shaped ball bounces weirdly. Sometimes you can exercise a little bit of control. All right. Yep. With whom do you spend more time, your wife or Clark Harris?
In season, Clark Harris. Easily.
Does he remind you at all of your wife?
No, definitely
does not.
Does not. And that's a good thing.
I wish he were here to defend himself. We thought we might get a cameo appearance.
No. Only like the hair, I guess, long hair. Maybe that's about
that's
the only thing.
That's the only thing they have in common.
Yeah.
All right. You got married about, what, a year and a half ago?
Year and a half.
Okay. I know about your wedding.
Okay.
Do you want to hear about it?
Sure. Let me know.
These are actual quotes from a magazine story about your wedding.
All right.
I found this absolutely fascinating, sort of. The bridesmaids' dresses were a perfectly mismatched assortment of pearl and cream hues in fabrics ranging from lace to silk to chiffon.
I did great, didn't I?
You did do great, man. Did you know all that stuff?
I did.
Did you say to your bride-to-be, listen, you got to have a mismatched assortment of pearl and cream hues?
No, she told me that's what it had to be, so I said, okay.
Okay. See, you figured it out already. You'll stay married for quite a long time if you maintain that. All right. Plush white floral arrangements, Kevin, added to the luxurious warmth of music hall's ambiance, and gold shivari chairs, whatever that is, paired well with gold silverware to play upon music hall's gilded glow. Did it work well for you?
It did. It was great.
Do you know what a shivari chair is?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
All right.
Okay. The cake. You wonder. Everybody wants to know about the cake. Bonnery's classic opera creme and white chocolate raspberry interiors with an ivory frosting and cascading edible florals that mimic the sumptuous floral arrangements. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a wedding cake. I don't remember sumptuous floral arrangements, man.
What did we do wrong? Pays a lot of attention to detail.
A lot of attention to detail.
Yeah.
And you just say, okay.
Yes.
That's a very smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you want to know about your reception?
Sure.
Okay. To kick off the party, Kevin and Mindy entered in Drake style, wearing red puffy coats and jamming to Hotline Bling.
Yes.
Can you hum a few bars of Hotline Bling?
Absolutely not. No. No. Definitely not.
Your honeymoon was in Bora Bora.
Yep.
How was that?
Awesome trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the best thing? You had one of those houses on stilts above the lagoon kind of thing?
Yeah, over the water. It's like a hut over the water.
Yeah, and you have a floor, like, a see-through floor.
Yeah,
a glass
the coffee table is like a glass coffee table. You can see through that.
What did you see under there?
Stingray. There's some sharks swimming under there.
No kidding.
Fish, yeah. Wow. That's sweet.
What was the best thing?
At the end of the trip, we did a this like boat cruise around the island.
Uh-huh.
It was just me, my wife, and the captain.
Yeah.
It was like a little jet boat, and he let me drive it around the island.
Really?
We had to swim with sharks.
Yeah.
It was sweet. Yeah.
And you, in January, went to Iceland.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that? I mean, most people in January don't go to someplace colder.
Well, we've always done warmer weather places. Yeah. So we're like, when it's cold, let's go somewhere cold.
Well, what was the best about that?
The scenery, it was sweet there. I mean, you go all these waterfalls and you go on the coast. There's the black sand beaches. There's
and lots of thermal tubs, hot tubs, natural.
Yeah,
hot
tubs. We did the Blue Lagoon. We did the we did a hike up. We hiked ourselves up to a this river that was coming off the glaciers.
Uh huh.
And there was hot steam, like these hot water. What do you want to call them? Coming up and flowing down to the river, so it made the river a hot tub.
Nice.
So we hiked up and took some wine and beer up there. And
so you guys, like, you're a traveling kind of guy. You enjoy traveling.
Yeah.
So I'm sure on this bye week, you're going to use this time to go someplace romantic and exotic with your wife.
No, we canceled so we can come here tonight.
That's not true at all. where are you going to do on this bye week, Kevin?
I'm going to play some golf. No, we have a foundation event on Saturday.
Okay.
And then some more golf on Sunday.
Your foundation is about rescue animals, correct?
Yeah, it's Foundation for Underserved Rescues. Started out about a month or two ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the first event we're doing. We're partnering up with a gym. It's called Pump for Pups is the event.
Okay.
Cincy 360 is the gym. And we're going to raise some money for Dreamhouse Rescues. No kidding. There's a little workout class you can do. It's at 50 West on Saturday from 12 to 2.
Okay.
And drink some beers, work out.
Drink some beers and work out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good combination. And there's
right at the same time.
Yeah, and there'll be dogs there to that you can adopt as well.
No kidding. Do you guys have an adopted pet?
We do have an adopted pet.
Dog?
Yeah. Little dog, Piper.
Yeah? You're a dog person or a cat person?
Dogs.
Yeah, we were too, but we just got a cat.
I'm not a big
cat
person.
Cats are pretty cool. This cat acts like a dog, so it's okay.
Is it like fetch and get the newspaper?
No, it doesn't fetch and get the newspaper.
Ours don't either, so I guess.
No, but she runs around and she begs for food, you know?
Yeah.
Which cats don't normally do.
Yeah.
Pretty cool little cat. Right. Well, that's great stuff. The cat that we got basically was thrown into somebody's backyard in our neighborhood.
All right, so you rescued it.
Yeah, it was a rescue cat, and she's pretty cool. Do you have, being a UC graduate, do you have any advice for Luke Fickell at this moment?
I think the only thing is really stay patient. I mean, he's getting his guys in. He's having great recruiting classes. Yep. You know, it's like with any coach and with any program, I think. You know, it's, you know, you got to have patience. It's not going to happen overnight.
Are you shocked at the decline of this program and since you left there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the frustrating part is just the revolving door of coaches. It's hard to get stability when there's every couple of years, it's who's the next coach going to be? And it's a different style of coach who has different styles of players. They want to get the old guys out, new kids in, and there's never any chance for stability to keep a program going in the right direction.
Do you think McNicholas High School will win a state title before UC gets to the bowl playoffs? That's a bad question.
Yeah.
But you have to answer that because this is the hot seat.
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
McNicholas will win it all in the state before UC gets to the playoffs.
Yeah, because they're going to smaller and smaller divisions, so that's...
I see.
That's their chance of getting better.
All right. That does it, my friend. Do you have any questions for me?
Did you play there?
No. You know what? I've been to the Masters 21 times. I never took my clubs.
You've been there that many times?
Yeah.
I've never been.
You've never been?
No. You going to take me next time?
I can't get you in. I'd like to, but I can't get you in. One year I slept on the floor with Mark Rippon. Remember him?
No.
You don't remember Mark, MVP of the league? Many years. Never mind.
No.
Okay. He's a Washington Redskin.
Okay.
I'd love to get you in, but, you know, I can barely get myself in.
Just 21 times?
Just 21 times.
Yeah.
I'll get you a shirt if you want. I can do that.
Large.
All right. I'll remember that. You're going to
I'll Venmo you.
All right, you are off the hot seat. Thank you for being a good sport. Thank
Appreciate
you for being here.
Thanks.
We will be back on Beyond the Stripes, presented by JosephAuto.com.